I'd like for you to remain standing with me this morning, and I want you to get ready with the word. We've been in a series called CUB. How many thank God can CUB some great things for God? Amen. If you have not been a part of this series yet, I encourage you to go on the website and take the downloadable app and listen to everything that God's been speaking. There's been some great stuff spoken here. Not because it's me, it's just God's been teaching some great things to us. Amen. So I want you to turn with me to our main text and use the note-taking device in your in our church app. How many use that note-taking device in the church app? Hold your hand up real high. It's really cool, isn't it? Isn't it? That's awesome. We're cool people. I want you to go to Jeremiah 29:11. I want you to read this out loud with me, because I think there's sometimes that you just don't say things out in your heart. There are sometimes the Satan needs to read your lips. And so I want him to read your lips about what God says to you. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11, and let's say it together. You ready? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for and not for, to give you a future and a hope. I am seeing God saying great things about you. And look what it says. It's what the Lord says. It's not what Pastor Sam says. It's not what the last employer said. It's not what your ex says. It's not what your bad boyfriend said. This is what God says about you. And he wants you to be blessed. I want you to look at a story with me, and I want you to stay in Genesis 24. Go to Genesis 24:12 is the verse I'm going to just read, but I'm going to go through the whole story, because I'm going to take you on a journey about what God is saying about you. It's the story of Abram is now looking for his son Isaac, who was 40 years of age, and tells his servant to go find a wife for his son. I like that. We should do that more often. Amen. And he tells him certain instructions. And so the servant walks away with this task to go find a wife for Isaac, and there are specific instructions given to him. But look what the servant says, and this is what I believe God wants to say for you. After he got instructions for Abram, it says, then he prayed, the servant prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abram, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abram. Lord, give me success today. Give me success today. Say that with me. Say, oh Lord, give me success today. So today, what I believe God can see you be is God can see you be a success. A success. Yeah, but you don't know how many marriages I've been through. A success. You don't know how many times I filed bankruptcy. A success. You don't know my addiction right now. A success. You don't know what the doctor said. A success. You don't know that I don't have enough money to pay my bills. A success. But you don't understand how many mental breakdowns. A success. You don't know the panic attacks. A success. You don't know the fight I'm in right now with my spouse. A success. How many believe God says, pray that he can see you be a success today? How many want that today? Amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, your best days are ahead of you. Tell him that. Your best days are ahead of you. Amen. Boy, a lot of paths to being successful, right? So two friends at their 40th class reunion for after 40 years. One guy had graduated from college, had a little bit of success. The other guy, his other buddy, was less ambitious, but very, very prosperous. He says, man, he goes, how did you do that? You didn't go to college. You're really prosperous. And man, I've been working hard. I got a little bit of success. I graduated from college. And the guy says, well, let me tell you how it happens. He said, one day, I just thought, I'm going to open my Bible up. He said, open up my Bible, close my eyes, plop my finger down. And he said, I opened my eyes up, and my finger was on the word oil. So I invested in oil wells. And he said, man, when I invested that oil well, it just went crazy. It's still gushing. I mean, I'm producing millions from that thing. He said, no kidding. He said, yeah. And then a year later, he said, I thought I'd do it again. I opened up my Bibles, closed my eyes, dropped my finger down. He said, and the word hit on gold. So I thought, I'm going to invest in a gold mine. He said, so I invested in a gold mine. He said, I'm telling you, that thing's still mining so much gold. He said, I'm richer than Rockefeller ever was. The guy goes, man, that's just crazy. So the guy graduated from college. He went to his hotel room that night. He thought, I'm going to try that. Grabs a Gideon Bible, opens it up, closes his eyes, drops his finger down. And when he opens up his eyes, it says chapter 11. There's a lot of paths to success. That's not the way to do it. A lot of paths to success. I really do. I want to talk to you today a little bit about why did this man pray this prayer? And then how do I become a success? Everybody at every stage, I don't care if you're 15 years of age or you're 65 or you're 85 and retired, there's something you're asking God to make you a success out that you want to achieve. If you stop looking for a dream, stop looking for a vision, you need to pray and get on your knees and ask God for a fresh one. I don't care if you're 102 years old in this place. Ask God to give you a fresh one. And I love what this guy prays without embarrassment. I mean, some people think that's kind of narcissistic to pray, God, give me success. But did you see what this man asked for, a reason for success? Did you just happen to see what he prayed for success for? He said, so that someone else can be successful. I want Abram to be successful, and I want Isaac to be successful. Your prayer to succeed is not just to amass more garage sale fodder and get more toys and have a bigger, better home so that you can just say, I'm a success. No. He said, the reason I want you to give me success, God, is because there's a lot of other people that I want to see blessed in the process. I want to see my master, Abram, succeed, and I want to see Isaac succeed. I don't want to be a failure. So how many know there's no problem with God have you asking God to show you success? And look what he says. He says, Lord, I want you to give me the success. 11 years as your pastor, 21 years as an evangelist before that, I think of all the years in ministry that I've been in, and I tell you, something that's hitting me about success came as a result. Bob Goff, he wrote a book, and there is this statement out of his book that is just now almost become my mantra. I no longer fear failing at something that matters. I fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not afraid of failing at something that matters. I'm afraid of succeeding at something that doesn't matter when I stand before God. I've watched people work themselves to death. I've watched them lose their relationship with God, lose their relationship with their family. I've watched people aspire to things that at the end of the day, friends, it doesn't matter. But I want to succeed at the things that actually matter to God. That's what I want to be success at. How many want the exact same thing? God, let me succeed and let me be honed in on what matters and let me be succeed. That's what everybody wants to define success, you know, whether you got gold mines or oil wells. Come on, that's not success. Success is knowing the will of God and doing it. Just doing what God shows you to do. And this guy begins to show, how did he become successful? He prayed, God, give me success. And I want to point to five things that I think are very important indicators that you might discover is something missing in your path towards succeeding with God. And here's the very first thing that you find. The first thing that you find is that there is a priority to the Word of God. There's a priority to God's Word. Now look at this, Genesis 24:3. Abram said. He said, I swear to you by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites. These were people that didn't honor God, didn't want to follow God, the Canaanites, among whom I am living. Now, Abraham, listen, the reason I say priority to the Word of God is that what God says is important to you. It must be the priority of your life. Now, mind you that at this time, Abraham did not have the scripture to tell him that. But he did have the desires and the intentions of God that do not get around people and don't connect your kids to people who have nothing in their heart to honor or to follow me. And later we know that would become a part of the scripture where God began to tell him, hey, don't get connected with someone that is anti-God or doesn't want anything to do with me. And look what happens. This man, Abram and this servant are saying the priorities to succeeding is doing what God really desires, which is his word. I love this psalm. Write this down. Psalm 1:1. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers." Watch this. "But they delight in the law of the Lord." Underline that. Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate. They just don't read the word of God. They are doing the word of God. I'm tired of Bible studies. I want to see some Bible doing. I listen to some Christians talk about their pastor. "Well, if he just give us some Greek and give me a little more intellectual." Why don't you do the word first? Don't talk to me about how intellectually enlightened you are. Why don't you do something for God? Instead of Bible studies and gorging yourself and become a spiritual porker, do something for God. Jesus stalkers. You're like people on Facebook. You're Jesus stalkers, but not Jesus doers. And it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. I got more left. Hang on. Come for round two. I got more left. But look at this. "But they delight," and then they meditate on it day and night. They are, watch this. Watch the prosperity. "When we do this, they are like trees planted along riverbanks, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither." And watch this. "And they prosper in" what? "In all they do." What does this mean? Because of the priority toward the desires and the intentions of God, that I'm doing the word related to the very issue I'm going through right now. If I'll bring God's word in it, he says, listen, eventually you're going to see growth and prosperity in everything that you lay your hands on if you'll have a priority of God's word. The priority of God's. See, the problem is that some people, they're praying this will. It's my kingdom come and my will be done. Every time I've tried to do something... And here's another thing. People always come. The most frequent question I get, and probably our pastors, is this. I want to know the will of God for my life. I want to know the will of God for my life. That is the biggest question. Could you tell me how to find the will of God for my life? People are always asking that. And here's what I've discovered. You will discover the secret things of God when you delight in the scriptural things of God. Everybody wants to know, what's the unknown? Should I marry this person? Should I invest this? Should I make this career change? You will never discover the secret things of God until you first delight in the scriptural things of God. Let me show you a scripture. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The Lord our God has," watch this, "has secrets known to no one." Those little things you're asking, you're trying to make a decision right now. You don't know. He says, we are not accountable for those. We're not accountable for those things yet. But we and our kids are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. What is he saying here? He's saying, if I'll still first take care of what has been revealed to me by God's word and do that and apply that to every issue, every dynamic I'm going through, if that's the priority and I do that word, just sit back and watch, he will reveal the secret things to you and show you success. So what does that mean? It basically means follow the revealed will of God and he will show you the unrevealed will of God. He'll show you the college to attend. He'll show you the career path. He'll begin to unroll it like a scroll, not like a book, and go to chapter 12 and figure it out. He'll show you how to deal with your family. He'll show you how to deal with your physical issues, everything. He'll begin to reveal it if you're responsible for what he's already given you. Why would God give you $1 million if you can't handle the $1 you got in your pocket right? Priority to the word of God. Amen? Watch this. Here's the second thing that you find in this man's life that why God gave him success, because he did succeed at this, is you got to pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. Look what he says. Then he prayed. Underline that. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abram, give me success today and show kindness to all and show kindness to my master." Now watch this. The word Holy Spirit is not used here, but when you start looking and unfold this story, those of you students of the Bible, you already know where this story turns out. I'm going to take some of you through it that have never read it, but I want to show you something. You will see the activity of the Holy Spirit dealing with each person and each precise moment right on time, and it's directly related to this person saying, "God, I pray for your will to be done in this." You pray for your will. Look, you see it. Watch it. The Holy Spirit activity because someone is praying the will of God. Look at this. Rebecca. Okay? She comes down. He says, you know, he places this before God. God, if this, show me the person. And he shows it, and we'll come back to it in a minute. But watch this. Verse 15. It says, before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. He's saying, God, I need, here's the sign I want to show that this is the woman he's supposed to marry. And the moment he prayed it, she comes out. So what does this mean? This means that Rebekah has to follow the yielding of the Holy Spirit to be there at the right time to meet this man to become the wife of Isaac. Watch this. Then Isaac, when he brings the woman home to see Isaac, look what it says in verse 24, verse 63. Watch this. He went out to the field one evening, watch this, to meditate. What does this mean? He is out there in that field having dialogue with God. He's praying, interacting with the activity of the Holy Spirit. And then watch, as the servant walks up, he can see Rebekah from a distance getting off the camel. Watch this. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac. And that moment, you see the activity of Isaac connecting with God, praying for God. And when he sees her, he goes mad in love with her. What's happening here? The activity of the Holy Spirit to pray, God, I want your will. And we are praying too many prayers where I want my way, the way I think it should be done, and it's my will be done, my kingdom come, that's what I want. How many know every time we've prayed, my kingdom come, my will be done, how many have always ended up that it's a train wreck every time? And usually what happens, look at this, usually what happens is because we're praying with wrong motives, we don't get the answer from God. Look at James 4:2. He says, yet you do not have what you want because, first of all, you don't ask God. First of all, just ask God. Ask God to help you. But then he says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So we're thinking, God, I want my kid to do this. God, if my company would do this. If my spouse would do this. No, pray. God, I'm not so smart to know what's supposed to happen. So would you, Holy Spirit, bypass my will and do your direct will? Release your will, God, in all this. Now, I know we're afraid of praying that because we're afraid we don't like what God gives us sometimes. But I promise you, some of you have been praying, God, I want your will, but you're not liking the outcome right now. I promise you that if you will surrender to God's will and keep invoking, God, let your will be done, let your will be done, let your will be done, at the end of the day, you're going to be so grateful you went with his will instead of your will. And sometimes it doesn't look good. It takes you to places to work you don't want to work. Seriously. It puts you in conversations with people you don't want to have. Sometimes it makes you feel like you're married to someone you don't think you should have been married to. But I promise you that if you'll ask for God's will to be released, you will see the success of God like never before. And at the moment, it may not look like success. Let me tell you how I know. Because Jesus went through the same thing. Here he is getting ready to go to the cross, and in Luke 22, verse 42, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's under so much stress that blood is mixing with the sweat, dropping down on the ground, and he knows that he's got to be crucified to save mankind, and look what he prays to the Father. He prays, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. I'm really hating what I'm in right now. I despise the job. I despise the marriage. I despise what I'm going through physically. I despise it. But he says, nevertheless, God, not my will, but yours be done. And what happens? He goes to a cross and gets crucified. Now, I'm going to tell you what it appears as. It appears as God answered his prayer with no. But the will of God was when it looked like God was saying no to his son, he was actually saying yes to the world. You wouldn't be sitting here if Jesus would have said, my will be done, my kingdom come. I really don't want to be crucified. But he says, God, I want yours. And the no really turns out to be a yes, that you can sit in here and be saved and born again. How many of you thank God Jesus did the will of the Father so God could say yes to us? Oh. So what do I need to do, Pastor? You need to have a priority of God's word. Secondly, you need to pray for God's will if you really want success. Quit asking God to make your child behave this way. Say, God, do your will in that kid, and I release them to you, Jesus. Maybe sometimes the reason God can't change our kids is because we won't totally give them to God to do whatever he wants with them, no matter what it takes to save them. Thirdly, you ready for success? How many of you want to have success with God? Partner with godly Partner with the godly and wholehearted. This is talking about the character of people. You want success? Get around people that are upright with God. That doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean they're faultless. I'm not looking for faultless people. I'm looking for faithful people. But these people are unwavering and they're upright. They want to walk pure before God and they want to walk persistent, authentic lives. They don't be phony Christian. They want to be just authentic. Now watch this. Look at the servant's prayer. Let's go on this journey for a little bit. Go to verse 13. He said, Lord, see, I'm standing. See, so now here he is on this journey, and Abram tells him, go to my family. Don't marry from the Canaanites where I'm living. So he's on this journey, and then he gets to this place. He says, see, I'm standing beside this spring. And the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. Then look at verse 15. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. Now look at the godly character. Look at verse 16. Watch this. Partner with the godly and the wholehearted. The authentic, hardworking, dedicated, persistent, upright people. See their character. Watch this. Verse 16. The girl was very beautiful. She's a knockout. A virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. Then look at verse 19. After she had given him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels too. Just like he prayed, God, let her do that. I will draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. Two things you see in here. Everybody knew it. They knew she didn't sleep around. They knew she wasn't throwing her body around. They knew she walked with integrity. They knew she wasn't some party guy, some party girl. This wasn't somebody that lied on the IRS return. This wasn't somebody that told you one thing in business and then another. This was a person that, buddy, they walked upright before God and everybody knew it. She wasn't sleeping around. This person walks in integrity. And then you find another thing. She comes down there and she gives, that's how I found Brenda. I said, Lord, if it be thy will. And she said, you want a drink? Yes. She said, well, I'll water your camels too. That's what Brenda, she watered my camels. That's why we got married. But what does this show? What does this show? What does this show? Come on, let me show you something. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm so tired of people. Listen, we talk about people who go the second mile. I just wish some people would finish the first mile. Yeah, they're a second miler. There's some people, I wish you'd finish the first mile. Please. At least show up to work on time. You want a pay raise? Would you quit coming in late? Finish the first mile. Seriously. No, hold on, wait a minute. Wait a second. When a person keeps showing up late and leaves early, let me tell you what it is. It is silent rebellion against the leader of that company. It's silent rebellion. And God will not honor that. It's silent rebellion. I can come in when I want. I'll leave when I want. It's silent rebellion. No wonder God won't let you prosper. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all letting on. Now look at this. Watch this. And she gave not just drink for him, but she said, I'll water the camels. I don't know how many camels he had, but that had to be a job. And she's got to run back and forth to get more water from the well. She's pulling that thing up. This girl is working out. You know she's got to be buff, man. She's taking care of herself. What does this mean? She's showing up for her. She's dedicated. She's wholehearted. She's wholehearted. Listen, before you can ever get to the place of leadership, what she's doing? She goes, all I do right now is water camels. And I'm going to water camels the best I can water camels. Then one day I'll marry an Isaac that promotes me. See, some people never get promoted because you can't even water camels well. You got to be dedicated. And look at her generosity. She was absolutely generous. Seriously, it's one of the reasons why I married Brenda. The godly character. I talked to her pastor. And I want to know if she was generous. I did. Tell me you don't. But listen, I was serious about that. I'm very serious about this. I remember before I was getting ready to ask her to marry me, I called her pastor and said, I don't want to know how much she gives. I just want to know, does Brenda tithe? He says, why are you asking? I said, because the way she treats God is the way she will treat me. Does she tithe? He goes, what happens if she doesn't? I'm dead serious about this. I'm dead serious about this. You call Elwin Johnston. Go call him. He said, what if she doesn't? I said, well, I'll ask her to begin. I'll ask her to begin. She said, what if she doesn't then? I said, then we're not getting married. Why? Because the way you treat somebody you can't see, if you can treat the person you can't see good, just think how you'll treat the person you can see. I did. Because I wanted generosity. Because I knew that's the way she would treat people. I knew that's the way she'd treat everybody. I watched her work ethic. I watched her dedication. Look, what is it simply saying here? It's simply saying that hang around people that you know have godly character. I'm not talking about faultless. I'm talking about faithful people. Let's say I'm pursuing God. I'm going after God. I'm doing my best. I'm telling you, employers right now are saying, preach, pastor, preach, preach. Supervisors saying, preach, pastor, preach. People, the reason they don't succeed is everybody owes something. But she gave more. She didn't know this man. She just kept giving more and giving more. That's why I love servant evangelism. It's because we give without strings attached, because we know the gift opens the way to the giver and ushers them into the presence of the great. Partner with godly people who are wholehearted. You say, why, pastor? Because you will become like the people you're hanging around. I mean, I don't even care if they're Christians. Whatever character they have, it will get on you. No doubt in my mind. Who you are and what you'll become in the next 5 years is directly correlated to the people you spend your time with. That's the reason why I want to hang around people that have a higher standard than me. I want them to press me. I want them to provoke me. I want them to call me higher. I don't want to hang around people that I like something like Colin Powell said. General Colin Powell, he says, an important attribute to successful people is their impatience and with negative thinking and negative acting people. As you grow, your associates will change. Some of your friends will not want you to go on. They will want you to stay where they are. Friends that don't help you climb will want you to crawl. Your friends will stretch your vision or choke your dream. Selah. Absolute truth. Who you partner with is so crucial. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with wise and become wise. The associate of fools will get in trouble. How many of you believe who we partner with is so crucial to where we go next? Who you are in partner with business in, who you're partnering when you marry, who you partner when you hang around in the body of Christ, hang around people that take you higher into godly nature and character to be wholehearted and authentic for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Here's number four. Write this down. Pursue godly wisdom. One of the ways God guides, get ready for this, is just through having conversations with people that you have a lot of confidence in because you see their godly characteristics and their uprightness, and they've been somewhere where you hadn't been before. Now look, one of the ways God does this, watch this. Although Isaac and Rebekah, watch this, had some elements of pre-arranged marriages, okay? There were some arrangements that were there, okay? You still see them having the ability to choose. There are some cultures where they can choose. But even though there were some elements, because our Western mindset can't put our mind around this, there were elements of pre-arrangement. There was still the element of you have to make a choice. Because when you read the Bible, go to that story in verse 57. I'm not going to read it to you. But they asked Rebekah, the father and her brother said, will you go with this man? And she says, I'll go, she replied. So she had a choice. In verse 67, the Bible says that Isaac chose to marry her, and he chose to love her. He chose to love her. So everybody has a choice. Now watch this. But what they were doing, the reason they made their choices, their decisions that made them successful in their marriage or successful in their business, whatever, was they listened to the counsel of other people. They listened to the counsel of other people. Look at the counsel of Abraham. Look what he says. He says, you will not get a wife from the sons, for my son from the daughters of the Canaanite, among whom I'm living. Go to my family is what he's saying. Why is he saying this? He not only just said this to the servant, I guarantee it. Isaac heard that word a lot of times. Son, when you marry, this is what you need to marry. Now watch this. Just as it was for Isaac to make a decision, he sought godly counsel. Isaac did. Watch this. So did the servant. But so did Rebecca. Look at the confirmation that Bethuel gives to Rebecca. Look at this. In verse 50, Laban, which is Rebecca's brother, And Bethuel, which was her father, answered, watch this. This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. What is he saying? What they're doing is they're actually going to someone and having a conversation who's already been down the road, who's seen a lot of people, and says, could I have a conversation with you? Do you think that this is the wisest decision for my life? Do you know more people are in trouble? Because let me tell you, the sure way to get in trouble is to take everybody's advice and to take nobody's advice. And notice that it's her parents. Notice the parents. Notice the parents' involvement in having conversation with people who have been there, tried and tested. Don't go to the unknowing for knowledge. I meet people that can't keep a relationship together, but going to tell you how to keep yours together. They're going to tell you how to raise kids, but they don't keep the principles of the Word of God. How many believe you got to pursue, you got to go after, you got to seek out the godly counsel? People that have been in business before you, people that have had successful marriage, people that have failed in marriage and succeeded. Talk to them, have conversations with them. Sit with your small group leader, whether in the young adults ministry, the junior high ministry, high school, sit with them, have them in conversations with people. Listen to your parents. Listen to your spouse, for crying out loud. The longer I live, the more I've noticed that the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like Brenda. Every man say amen. No, I'm serious. Counsel with people. Look at this. Everyone needs a godly person that leads them. Everybody needs a mentor. You ought to be stretching your capacity. You ought to be asking God to send someone to you that has a higher standard than you. Higher standard than you. Look at this. Joshua had Moses. Elisha had Elijah. The 12 had Jesus. Look at this. Paul had Timothy. Listen, it goes on and on and on and on. The sure way to disaster is not to pursue godly wisdom. Now, let me give you the last point. Is that there's a pathway that God is working that you need to be aware of. If I could just land on this just for a moment. The final one is look for the pathways that God is already working. I think sometimes we want to get about the will of God. There is a supernatural working, but there is a sensible planning that you have to look at. There is a prophetic pathway. Listen closely. There is a prophetic path in this story, and there's a prophetic path for you, but there's also a practical process you got to pay attention to. And I think some Christians want to make it so when there's a practical side you need to see. Now look at the prophetic side. Look at Abraham. Genesis 24:40. He replied, the Lord, before whom I have walked, watch this, will send his angel with you and make your journey successful. Now how many know it's not you? How many know it's God working through you that makes the success? Watch this. So that you can find a wife for my son from my own clan, from my father's family. And then look what the servant prayed in verse 13. He said, remember the story again. He said, I'm standing here by this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming to draw water. May it be that when I say to the girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, she says, drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. Now watch, how many see the prophetic side of things that are working and happening here? Prophetic things. I mean, this happened with Brendan and me coming to GR, our family coming to GR Grand Rapids first. It happened with us. I'll never forget one time, we were living in Dallas at the time, and I was sitting there preaching in some little town in Texas, and Brenda calls me that Sunday afternoon. She goes, I had the craziest encounter. This young man who was a leader of a small group in the youth ministry, it's a very large church there in Dallas we attended. They happened to be walking out of the church parking lot right after service. He looks at Brenda and says, Brenda, he said, you know, I just had this craziest dream about Pastor Sam the other day. Crazy dream. He said, he was in this church. It was a large auditorium. There were all these people in front of him. And he said, he was the pastor of this church. And he says, I think he was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That was on Sunday. Monday morning, there is an envelope mailed to me from Grand Rapids First, the search committee, the very next morning, asking me if I would consider submitting my name to pastor this church. You talk about prophetic things that happen. You pay attention to those things. You pay attention to those things. I mean, it wasn't weeks later. I came up here by myself to interview with the pulpit committee. Brenda's down there, and she's in church again. Cindy Jacobs, she's a great woman used in the prophetic. She happens to be in the same service with Brenda, And all of a sudden, she, you know, Cindy's not real woo-woo. She's just very normal about the prophetic, just normal. And she goes over to Brenda. She's just sitting there attending the same church. She goes, hey, Brenda, she goes, I just got to tell you something. The traveling ministry for you and Sam is coming to an end. She said, and God is going to use you to implement a local church. You guys will start being in a local church, and you will reach a city for God. She said, Cindy, did anybody tell you this? She goes, what do you mean? She goes, Sam is meeting with the pulpit committee just yesterday, and Sunday morning gives her this word. I mean, prophetic sign after prophetic sign. How many know you got to pay attention to the prophetic? Okay? But then, watch this. There's something so practical you got to pay attention to. It's like the counsel of people. It's like following the word of God. It's like having conversations with people. It's like looking at godly character. This doesn't take rocket science, folks. It just takes paying attention to some practical things. But I want to show you one thing. And the Holy Spirit, here's the deal. God will give you the peace that he's already walking ahead of you before you get there. He said, I'm going to send the angel ahead, you'll know. Now, when I was preparing this message, this hit me. Psalm 119, verse 105. And the Holy Spirit just kept bringing me back to this, and I'm going to end with this. He says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. He's a word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my pathway. Some of you have that deal. And I always thought this. When I saw this scripture, let me tell you what I always saw. This is the image I'd have. You're walking through a pasture. God gives you light so you can see. You're not tripping over rocks, stepping in cow pies. Just, you know, he's guiding you. That was my image. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to pay attention to this. He says, it's a light for my path. He said, you're not just wandering through a pasture, making sure you don't step in a creek or step on a rock or trip over a rock. He says, it lights the path. And what is a path? It is a road or a walkway that has already been stepped upon that others have already gone through. He said, Sam, a path is something that has already been established. And here you're thinking, oh, I don't know what to do. I've never been down this road before. Well, you may have never been down this road before, but he says, I already walked it for you. I'm going to make it so clear for you. The boundaries are going to be there. You're not going to be wandering out in a pasture trying to find your way through a forest. He says, I've already put the path. It is already established. It's already there. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I knew you before you were created in your mother's womb. Every one of your days were recorded in my book. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Why? Because he has already trodden the path. All he wants you to do is look and stay in that path. There's nothing new about this business for him. There's nothing new about this person you're dating. He said, I've already walked it. And if you'll just take my light, you'll stay in your lane. Because I've already been there. And in fact, if you'll talk to other people, you'll find they've already been there. And they can tell you how to stay on track too. How many thank God we are people of success because God is for us and he is not against us today.